And talking to your pastor and praying about it, we both agreed that probably the best way to use this weekend together was rather than having kind of five disconnected messages, we're just going to park in one passage of Scripture and we're going to meditate on it. We're going to think about it a lot. And part of that, we're going to be discussing it together. So tonight, we're just going to get started, kind of make an introduction, and then we'll really start doing the heavy lifting tomorrow morning. And I really look forward to it. We're going to be in John chapter 4, finally, right? John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is a prolonged presentation of a discussion that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman, or we call her the woman at the well. Some people would call her the bad Samaritan. We know of the good Samaritan from the parable. This is the bad Samaritan. The Lord Jesus has this encounter with her, and we're going to be studying his discussion with her, and they're going to talk about where they ought to worship, and then Jesus is offering to quench her spiritual thirst after asking her for a drink of physical water. And she's going to kind of dodge and change the subject. Of course, Jesus is going to say, you've been married multiple times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she is evasive. Ultimately, Jesus is going to present what is a famous description of biblical worship, that God is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And then she is going to come to know him as Messiah. She's going to go into the village and call out people to come and meet Christ. And really, in this passage, we have a microcosm of what God is doing in the world. We go from this lady being a notorious, ashamed sinner to being pursued by Christ and saved by Christ, and having her needs satisfied by Christ. He is going to take her and turn her into a worshiper. And we speak about the centrality of worship and how important that is in what God is doing. And then he's actually going to use her as one of the most effective evangelists of the Gospels. Okay, so we go all the way from pre-conversion to conversion to worship to evangelism and missions, and we do it all in John chapter 4. So we're going to take five messages and really get to know this passage well. And I hope you'll really come to appreciate the Samaritan woman. I have a way that I express how I relate to her. I am a Samaritan woman. I'm a Samaritan woman. I'm sinful like her. I'm ignorant like her. And I'm thirsty like her. I relate to her. Now, admittedly, that can be a confusing discussion. When I say I am a Samaritan woman, spiritually is all I'm saying. I told you the church in Ohio didn't have our own building, so we would have to carry in hymnals, carry them out, set up everything, tear it down. One week, some lady had left her purse there, and I couldn't just leave it there for her to get on Sunday night or Wednesday. I had to take it with me. So I'm walking out to the car carrying this purse, and one of the men in the church said, Pastor, you are taking this whole Samaritan woman thing entirely too far. All right, spiritually, I relate to this lady. And I know you know this passage well. Try to read it with fresh eyes. Okay, and I'm going to be asking you questions, and we're going to discuss it together. Kind of take a corporate meditation of this passage, and pray that the Lord will use it in our lives. Let's start reading together. John chapter 4. We won't read all of it, but we will read 26 verses. I like to read a lot of Scripture. This is the only part of the message where you can be absolutely certain I'm right. I'm reading the Scripture. All right? John 4 and verse 1. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, that is about noon. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You, that is Samaritans, worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said unto her, "I who speak to you am he." Lord, thank you for this passage. I pray that over the next few days, we will come to understand it well. I pray that we will understand the Samaritan woman. And far more importantly, I pray that we will come to understand and trust and adore the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Bless our time together. I pray for a time of physical refreshment, but I pray for a time of spiritual refreshment as well. Satisfy our hearts with the truth of Scripture. And we ask for you to do what we can't do, confident that it's your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few moments tonight, all right? And then we'll hit it hard tomorrow. I want to consider just one point tonight. That is that Jesus seeks sinners. Jesus seeks sinners. What do you know about this Samaritan woman? All right, kind of give me a character sketch of this Samaritan woman. Jesus is in a divine appointment with her. We're reading at the very beginning that he's leaving the Jews for a time. He's traveling from Jerusalem, the Judea area, and he's going up to Nazareth, and he has to travel through Samaria. If you know your Bible maps, you know that Jerusalem is in the south, and Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, that's all up in the north. And between it is the region of Samaria. Okay, so some people would say, well, Jesus had to go through Samaria in order to get there. It's just a geographical statement. I think it's more than that, because some Jews were so supposedly devout, actually they were so ridiculously prejudiced that they wouldn't want to walk through Samaria because those were such despised people. They would actually take a longer route and go around. All right, so Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. He could have taken his time and gone around. I don't think it's just describing the geography. I think it's saying that Jesus had a divine appointment. This wasn't accidental. Jesus needed to speak with this lady, and as he's going to save her, he's going to start a revival that saved an entire group of people. So Jesus needed to speak to this lady, The disciples go into town to get lunch. Jesus sits down by the well because he's wearied with his journey. Does that, you know, set any neurons firing in your brain? Jesus is the one that we start the Gospel of John saying, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. We're going to read that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the eternal God, the creator of everything. And then we come to a passage like this, and almost just as an extra detail, John says, he sat down by the well, wearied with his journey, and he asked her for a drink of water. Does that kind of throw you for a loop a little bit? The maker of all things is tired. How does God get tired? The creator of everything is thirsty. How is that even possible? Even just in that detail, we have the wonders of the incarnation, that the Almighty One, who is never weary, he never sleeps, is worn out. The one who is self-sufficient, he needs nothing, is thirsty because God had become a man and he experienced tiredness like you do on a Friday night. He experienced thirst like you do when you've been walking out in the heat of the day. So Jesus has this meeting with the Samaritan, and we're going to find out in this entire passage, he is seeking her. Okay, every part of this discussion is being led by Jesus. He is after her, and she is doing her best to get away and to evade. But Jesus has set his affection on her in spite of her, and he desires to win her. Jesus seeks sinners. Now, I ask you, what do you know about this woman that makes it unique that Jesus is seeking to save her? What do we know about the Samaritan woman? Talk to me.
She came at noon.
Okay, she came at noon.
There were no other women there, so she was totally alone.
Yeah, it looks like she is trying to avoid other people. She's coming all by herself at kind of an odd time of day. And by the end of the story, it's very interesting. You know, God has totally changed her, and she can't find enough people. But at the beginning, she doesn't want to see anybody. She's coming in the heat of a day. I mean, think of it this way. I think it's a well-known fact that the Samaritans are outcasts. Okay, if you think about their history, their feuding with the Jews goes way, way back to time in Old Testament history, where in that region there was a false altar set up at the division of the kingdom. And then it goes back to the defeat at the hands of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians forced some of the Jews of that region to intermarry with Gentiles. So these are people that had been guilty of false worship, and then they became guilty or forced into this situation where they're kind of half-breeds. They're not Jews. They're not Gentiles. They're the only thing worse than Gentiles. They're half-breeds. They're kind of physical mongrels, and they're hated. To be called a Samaritan, when the Pharisees wanted to really ridicule Jesus, they would call Jesus a Samaritan. And that was shocking because the hatred was so deep. And we have these explanatory notes that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. They hated them. They hated each other. Okay, now all that to say, the Samaritans are outcasts already. If you're a social pariah among the Samaritans, I mean, it doesn't get much lower than that. Everybody hates the Samaritans, and apparently the Samaritans hate this woman. Very sad. Okay, what else do we know about her? All right, five husbands, and now she's living with somebody else. How does that happen? All right, we're going to talk about that some tomorrow. My initial thought is, you know, this is a New Testament Elizabeth Taylor. I don't think so. I thought, man, this woman was just immoral and easy and I think it goes deeper than that. Okay? But she certainly was immoral, and Jesus calls her out on it. Think of it this way. What barriers did Jesus cross in order to seek a relationship with this woman? What barriers did he cross? He crossed geographic barriers. What else? He crossed cultural barriers, ethnic barriers, gender barriers. Okay, I mean, the Jews wouldn't talk to a Jewish woman in public. All right, a Jewish woman was considered, you know, shameful or unimportant. And Jesus, I think, intentionally just goes through bursting all of these stupid bubbles and saying, you know, this is ridiculous. Here is a Samaritan who is also a woman, who is also a divorcee, who is also an adulteress. And I'm going to talk to her. And she says, why are you talking to me? Jews don't do that. Jesus says, I do that. The disciples are going to come back from getting lunch, and they're shocked that he would talk to her. And Jesus has no time for any of those unbiblical, extra-biblical prejudices. And Jesus sets his attention and sets his affection on this woman. I love that. Jesus is different than we imagine him to be, I think. Jesus is omnigracious. We use the word, you know, omnipotent, omniscient. He is omnigracious. He is so merciful. He is dealing with one of the dirtiest, one of the most pathetic people in the scriptures. And he's trying to help her, and she doesn't even want to be helped, but he's relentless. He keeps pursuing her. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus seeks sinners. And it's not just the message of John 4. It's the message of the gospel in the world. This woman's not trying to get saved. She's trying to get away. And that's me. And that's you. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, we sin, and do you know what our response is? We don't run to God. We run from God like a criminal runs from a police officer. Adam and Eve are running the other way, and God seeks them. This woman is running the other way, and Jesus will not have any of it. He is relentless in his pursuit of her and his love of her. And whether it's gender or ethnicity or whatever it might be, Jesus crosses all of those barriers to seek sinners. That's good news for me as a sinner. And it's very instructive to me as a pastor. It's very instructive to me as a Christian in how I relate to fellow Samaritan women. Jesus wasn't so holier than thou that he wouldn't engage her in conversation and be kind to her and speak to her and have a redemptive conversation with her. He wasn't too tired for her. He wasn't too good for her, too respectable for her. Jesus seeks sinners. We'll close with this. It's very interesting to me, the placement of this description in the book of John. Where it occurs is very instructive. For one thing, we read at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus was leaving Judea because the Pharisees kind of chased him away. So you have these self-righteous religious Pharisees, and they don't want Jesus around. And Jesus says, you know, that's fine. I'm going to go to Mount Gerizim. I'm going to talk to the lowest of the Samaritans. And then the people from her village will ask me to stay and have a Bible conference, and I'm going to stay there. All right, Pharisees, you don't want me? I won't stay. These hated people want me, and they're ready for me. I'll go. Very instructive. But even beyond that, John 4, what happens before John 4? I promise I'm not going to tax you tonight. Just what happens before John 4? John 3. That's good on a Friday night. John 3. What happens in John 3? Who's Jesus talking to in John 3? Nicodemus. Can you think of anybody in the world more different than these two people? Nicodemus is a man, she's a woman. Nicodemus is a teacher, the teacher in Israel. This woman is a Samaritan. He's respected, she's despised. He is at least outwardly righteous. She is notoriously sinful. They're so different. And Jesus talks to them as though they are essentially the same. Because, as my friend J.D. Crowley puts it, the gospel is a stake in the heart of racism. Righteous, self-righteous Nicodemus needed a savior. And he wasn't so good he didn't need a savior. And then the wicked Samaritan woman wasn't so bad that she couldn't be saved. And they both meet, and Christ is going to say to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. What's he really saying when he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again? Put it in its most offensive description. When he says you must be born again, what's he saying? What is new birth? What is it? It's life. Nicodemus, you need life. You've been born once, you need to be born again. Which is to say, Nicodemus, you're dead. Pharisee of the Pharisees, teacher of the Jews, respectable religious man, you're a dead man. But I can give you life. And then he comes to the Samaritan woman and he says, you're sinful, you're ignorant, you're thirsty. You need satisfaction of soul, and I can meet that need. And essentially, he treats them exactly the same way. Jesus seeks sinners like Nicodemus, like the Samaritan woman, like me, like you. And you think about it, isn't that the story of the entire Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? We read Jesus interacting with people, and who's he talking to? Who's he touching? Who's he relating to? Just throw out some descriptions or names of people Jesus is dealing with. He's touching a leper. He's stopping to speak to two blind men, even though people keep telling them, just shut up. He's busy. And Jesus stops and he talks to them and he heals them. He talks to a woman that was caught in adultery. He gets his feet washed by a notorious prostitute. He has lunch with Zacchaeus, who is involved in organized crime. He'll minister to a centurion. He'll minister to a naked, crazy, demon-possessed man. This is Jesus. Jesus is omni-gracious, and he seeks sinners. And it makes me happy, because I'm a sinner. I'm a Samaritan woman, and Jesus is merciful even to people like me. He's merciful to people even like you. Let's rejoice in that tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so merciful to messed up people like us. And then we'll get up tomorrow morning ready to learn more about what God is doing in the hearts of sinners like us. All right? Let's pray together.